Hello, folks. Welcome to season two of the Shitstorm podcast. This season, we have a new host, Brian. I want to thank Mark, our original host, for his contributions to the success of this project. In this podcast, we talk about the maelstrom of issues that are flung at us each and every day, from politics to news to social issues that are important to our civil discourse as a nation and a world. Our goal is to turn out golden nuggets from the shit around us. We hope that through listening, each of us gain a clearer perspective of the issues presented. We welcome all points of view. Brian and I come at the world from very different perspectives, but we agree that we have common problems and that the best way to come to workable solutions is to listen to everyone respectfully and thoughtfully. So welcome to our first edition of the second season. I've got Brian Sturgill here. Say hi, Brian.
Hello.
So we're going to continue the podcast in the same way that we did before with a little bit of a different take. Brian and I come at the world differently. And as such, we have interesting conversations all the time about things like this. We're going to talk about dysfunction in Washington, D.C. today, and we're going to see if we can't come to some kind of agreement as to why it's so dysfunctional and possibly what things we can do to take our democracy back. So with that, Brian, why don't you go ahead and start and let us know what you think about this?
Hey, good deal, Mike. Well, I'm going to start with the House of Representatives today, because the House of Representatives, which was designed for the people to represent the people, has now become a lifetime politician situation where no one really cares about the people anymore. They're more interested in being reelected every 2 years. Me personally, I think there should be imposed term limits for the House of Representatives.
I actually couldn't agree with that more, and we can talk about if they should be 3 terms, 4 terms, 2 terms, or whatever, but I think it should extend beyond, and we'll get to the Senate and perhaps even the Supreme Court. But the problem is, for me, when the Founding Fathers set up the House of Representatives, they made it short term because they thought it was going to be high turnover and that you would get a progressively more representative group of people as time went on, when in fact the exact opposite has happened. It is now a branch of government that they're so entrenched that the incumbent wins 96% of the time. And it doesn't really matter what party. Now, in some elections, like the last elections, you have a few districts that flip, like Orange County, California. And that happens. And that's maybe a flash in the pan. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But as a whole, as a number of districts, it's extremely small. And that's bothering.
And that's true. Take my state here, like the state of Kentucky. We have had the same representative since 1980.
Yeah,
think about that. 1980. I mean, he's going to be there until he dies.
So what do we
without
do?
Question. And, well, I think here's the real issue. And me personally, I don't blame the politicians for milking the system. I actually blame us, American voters, because we allow it to happen. Yet, they represent the American voters, and they represent the people in their district.
That's absolutely true. But the fact is, they have a machine that's built up that basically it allows you to It basically allows you to run for life forever.
Oh, that's true. That's absolutely true. But what needs to happen is people need to look at it every time there's an election and say, are they truly representing me and my beliefs in my district? Instead of, we're bad for it here in Kentucky. I'll just be honest. We're extremely poor at it. But what happens is, You always hear, my dad voted for him, my mom voted for him, so I'm going to vote for him. It's like nobody thinks for themselves anymore.
What's supposed to happen. And then so what happens is you
exactly
get groups in the House. And again, I will be honest and say it happens on both sides. I think in the last several years, it's been more of the quote unquote Tea Party obstructionists in my mind, where you have guys who come in and they say, we're not going to compromise on anything. If you want to do this, then the answer is no. Now, I know that there's some on the left who do the same thing, but the Republicans have held the House up until very recently. And so that's what they did. Now, maybe the Democrats will do it. Maybe they won't. Again, I'm not trying to make a political discussion here. What I'm saying is that's a horseshit thing to do, no matter who's in charge. Compromise is the only way a political system works. In fact, political means social compromise. When you say, I won't compromise under any circumstance,
well, yeah,
you're basically defying the role of what you're sent to do.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, and it's happening today. Everybody, first of all, people need to get out of the mindset of Democrats and Republicans. I mean, everybody's an American. So everybody should want to do what's right for all of America, not just a select group and everybody stand in the way and fight with each other. You know, and I've said this before, my take on Congress is, it's the world's largest daycare.
Expensive daycare.
With grown-ups acting like 10-year-olds. Yes, it is. Very expensive daycare. And it's like, I'll take my toys and go home if you don't agree with me. But there's no such thing as 100% agreement on basically anything, hardly. So everybody has to compromise. And a lot of that gets done with something else I don't really believe in, Mike, and that's all these, you have a bill that's going to get passed. So in order to make everyone happy, they start attaching all these other smaller bills to it, which have nothing to do with the original bill to begin with.
Yeah.
And,
I think,
you know, the whole coattail effect,
you know,
is something I really don't care for.
The pork spending thing comes in, and I will say your representatives in Kentucky are pretty good at pork spending, but they're all pretty good, but those guys have taken the cake. But that being the said, my bigger concern is really the lack of accountancy. Once you become an incumbent representative, you are a representative for life if you want to be. And there's exceptions. Okay, yes, there are. A few people lose primaries. To the Republicans' chagrin, OAC won against a longstanding Democrat, but that Democrat had been in there for 30 years.
That is true, but that Democrat also
she just all of a sudden
disappeared and didn't represent his district anymore. And those people, I commend those people in that district. Saying, you know what, I've had enough of this shit, and I'm going
to
replace you.
Kissing babies, talking to people, seeing what they want. And, you know, a friend of mine in Tennessee one time said to me, I think Pelosi has to go. And I'm like, excuse me. You know, she's elected by the people of San Francisco. Do you think the people of San Francisco are going to elect an ultra-conservative member to the House of Representatives? They're not even going to elect a conservative member. This is the most liberal city in the world. They deserve representation just as much as the most conservative district in Texas does. And so to sit there and say, when you live in Tennessee, to sit there and say what the people of California should do would be like me living in Florida saying what the people of Tennessee or Kentucky should do. That's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Well, that's true.
Right.
That's the reason
every
state has a number of representatives that represent the districts in that state.
And it should. It should.
Well, and yeah, that's true. And it should. I honestly believe term limits solve
so
a lot of problems because what they do is they force politicians to actually do their job.
3 years, because they basically get in and spend the next year and a half fundraising. but, you know, we could extend the term of the House of Representatives to 4 years and perhaps reduce the Senate to 4 years. But the fact is, I think you should get 2 or 3 terms in the House If you want to become a senator, maybe one or two terms in the Senate. If you want to become an executive, there's term limits. And same thing with the Chief Justice or the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. But the point is, you cannot just move from branch to branch to branch to keep the thing going for you.
Well, I will tell you this. If you look at the state of Oklahoma, they have 12 years total. You can be governor for 2 years, you can be representative for two terms, and you can be a senator. And you're done, and it's over.
Maybe more like 15.
Yes.
I would hate to do
so. So am I. And at the federal level, you know, maybe it's not 12 years. Maybe it's 20 years total.
And that's cumulative service.
Yeah. 20 is a long time, but there should be some kind of cap on it that, yes, in all branches. I mean, if you're the president, you got your 4 years, you can be a senator, that's 10. Okay.
Now, I think there has
now
to be
you're only allowed,
if it's
14 years, you can either have a second term as president or two terms in the House, and that's it.
If you've got 8 months to go because of a special election or something, you can finish your term. You just can't run again.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with that, because what will happen is,
well,
somebody will say,
well,
I've got 1 year left, so I'm going to run for the Senate. And all of a sudden, they're not spending 14 years, they're spending 19 years. No, I agree with that. But I think that's where you just simply preclude anybody. If you only have 4 years, you can't run for the Senate.
You know,
it's that simple. Yeah, but what you can do there is, if you are elected in a special election, then it's basically time doesn't count against time served.
So let's say, for example,
right, exactly,
President Obama, and Obama served for 8 years, but 2 years before that, he was appointed like Gerald Ford was, because George Bush, for whatever reason, made him vice president, and he served for 2 years. One day less than 2 years. He can still run for president twice. If it was one day more than 2 years, he wouldn't be able to do that. And so we can do the same kind of thing with term limits on representatives and senators and whatever.
Correct.
Yeah, the fundraising is the killer.
And I honestly, they will do their job if they don't have to worry about being reelected. They will actually, it's 2 years. They're running for office the day they get elected. They've already started running for the next term. And it's a self, it's a self-defeated defeat,
okay, so we think,
is what it is instantly, because you can't,
let's talk about what the actual dysfunction,
you
the
can't
House
do your job,
in my opinion,
if you've got
to
keep doing fundraisers nonstop.
With the fact that the intransigence of political parties, even an individual who may want to compromise, you know, there are a lot of people who've thought about compromising, but at the end of the day, the leadership of the party just arm wrestles them to the ground and says, you can't do that. And so the party has taken over the will of the people. Like, if I elect a representative from Florida here, and have a decent one, a guy named Ted Deutsch, but, you know, if he can't do what his district needs, my district needs, because he's being strong-armed by the party, that's wrong, right? And so, and they use different committeeships and all this other nonsense to try to force their way. Now, I do agree that the Democratic Party or the Republican Party has a platform. And they need to go forward because they probably got elected on that platform. But going after a platform doesn't mean shutting the other person out. And that's the dysfunction. It's I win and you lose and that's it. But it's worse now than any time that
I agree.
Can remember in my life.
And we've seen it. and not just now, and not in the last, before the last elections, but throughout history. It has been, it really has become that way. But I think a lot of that, Mike, is everyone within each party has a view. No party is actually solidified the way it was 30 years ago, where Democrats were Democrats, Republicans were Republicans. Everybody was working towards their own goals. Now you've got, even in the Republican Party, you got way more moderates in the Republican Party than you had years ago.
There's a lot more conservatives the Democrats, than you might think, too.
Well, like, no, you know, but it's like the Democrats. You got way more liberals than, look, there was a lot of more liberals than Nancy Pelosi out there in the Democratic Party. Right. Exactly. Now, at the end of the day, the problem is it's party against party, and it's like a game. They're up there playing a game, and they're using the American people are the ones that suffer. That's all it amounts to.
Oh, I think it'd go a long way towards doing it, for sure. It wouldn't solve it, and there's other issues with the term limits, but it goes a long way towards... There's so many problems now that whatever...
No, it does not, but I think term limits would.
For example, California has local term limits. Other states do in more or less degrees, and you find ways around those problems.
Right. Yeah, you do. But I will tell you this. They gave us, the people of this country, got the power. You realize that up until 1913, if I'm not mistaken, the Senate, the state legislatures used to appoint the senators in that state. So if you had Democratic state legislature, you'd end up with Democratic senators or whatever. But then, so they took...
Which is what you have in Arizona right now.
Was it 17th Amendment took that power back away from the state legislatures and put it back in the hands of the people,
you know what,
so we could choose who we
want.
You
know what I like, too.
So we could have a Republican senator and a Democratic senator.
Public officials.
Exactly.
Elect by
so
party.
The people have been given the power
in a party,
to do so.
Not. You don't have to actually be in a party.
You know, and why won't we do it? That's my
votes.
Question.
Not by party. The two top vote earners are the ones who go on. So that means you can elect anybody you want. I mean, that's really a better system than trying to go into a state and get a majority of this group and that group. Because the problem with this system, and I'm sure we'll get to electoral college, is it creates preferred districts. I mean, if you're a senator in Arizona, you're going to go to Phoenix and a couple of other areas around it, and that's pretty much it. You know, it's just, in California, you go to Sacramento, San Francisco, LA, and San Diego, and that's it. I get it. No, I mean, and what I'm saying is that means the rest of the state, if you talk to a lot of people in California, if you look at the map, there's
that's where the people are.
Districts, but they have, you know, so few people in them, they're unimportant in the electoral process.
That once again, that's where the people are.
Yeah, I know. Right. And to a lesser degree, maybe London and Richmond and not much, yeah.
And that happens here in Kentucky. Let's face it, we only have two cities. We got Louisville and Lexington. And they're small. I don't know. You know, they really don't make an impact. So, you know, you got these small rural towns.
Yeah, so your density is...
You know, there's just not enough people. Pike County is the single largest county by landmass in Kentucky.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it only has, one time it had 60,000 people.
Senate.
I think it's down to about 52,000.
Same things about the Senate as we did the House, although there it's worth.
Yeah, that don't even qualify for a blip in a small county in California.
And again, I'm not going to hide my disdain for Trump, but it isn't really a Trump issue. He's figured something out, which is really bad. And again, we can talk about it in a little bit, which is to get rid of cabinet secretaries and replacing them with acting secretaries, which don't require Senate confirmation, which is a direct violation of what the founding fathers wanted. So the Senate has abdicated their job in many, many, many ways. You know, I think that it's really sad. The notion, I think that the biggest problem I have with the Senate right now is I think the filibuster should be put back. I think the 60-vote threshold should be put back. Otherwise, you have ramrodding of a minority power, which, look, 49 senators, there's 48 right now, or 40, whatever, but that's a significant chunk. And when they have no voice, you're saying 49% of the people in the United States have no voice. When you have a 60-vote threshold, and it worked since the day of the Republic was founded, they put that 60-vote threshold in, and it worked up until about 5 years ago. And I don't know why we can't go back to it. Well, it forces deliberation.
Well, the 60 votes doesn't really...
The way it's become is because right now you can be... That's
not so much an issue as far as I'm concerned. I can live with it. I can live without it.
The filibuster,
that is nothing more than the single biggest waste of time. And...
Right, and if you do that and you're going to go 14, 18 hours, you don't even get a bathroom break.
Oh, I agree with that. I honestly believe you should have to.
Yeah, that's nonsense. Well, it's counterproductive.
But, you know, to me, look, you should never, and you're right about the green eggs and ham thing, and some of these filibusters, they're talking about their grandkids at their peewee games, and come on, this shit, that's horrible. It's ridiculous. It's not productive. If you have
I don't think there should be a time limit that
concerns
about a subject that pertains to
something
the
that's taken place on the floor of the Senate.
Days, which nobody could,
that's fine.
I'm okay with that.
You should never have time to bring in anything from the outside just because you're trying to hold the floor. And there should be a time limit on it because.
And women.
Exactly. That's fine, but it's got to pertain to the bill. It can't, you just can't ramble on about all these different things. Yeah, it is nonsense. Look, these are grown-ass men in Washington and women. So the childlike behavior has to go away. It's got to go away.
Right.
You need to look and
like
say, what can I do for America?
I think things
that's
like
the real deal.
Government paid
and it's not, what can I do for myself?
If
they got up every morning and said, what can I do to make America better today? Instead of saying, how am I going to get reelected?
You know,
what can I do for myself?
We'd
be a hell of a lot off. We'd be so much better off.
Give me a break. Now, the president's a bit of an exception. And as much as I don't like Trump, I think that he needs a Secret Service. I think that he needs to be able to have special dispensations for things. Yeah, I do, even though I think it takes advantage of them. You know, and they used to criticize Obama. That's par for the course. You always criticize the other guy, and then you do what they do. So, okay, I'm not too concerned about that. Well, but, I mean, there's a reason in Kennedy, and they beefed it up and all that stuff, and – as much as I don't like Trump, I don't want to see him, you know, people trying to assassinate him. That's way on the other end of what should be done.
Well, you know, no president ever had Secret Service until Lincoln got shot.
No, you shouldn't. And you shouldn't have paid life insurance. I mean, paid life insurance for life and paid retirement for life. And
oh, I agree. But I'm like you. You know, I think if you're serving in the House or you're serving in the Senate,
right,
you shouldn't have a limo really that takes you to and from
and
work.
And I'm picking on McConnell, and I'm only doing it because I know the statistic. And whether you agree with a minimum wage hike or not, he's in
well, I love the way
his own salary now
their
times,
benefits are so much better like than every other American's benefits.
Maybe more.
And they vote on these
not
things.
Including his benefits.
They get to vote to give themselves
and
rights.
Then they can't raise the minimum wage a few dollars. Now, again, I'm not getting into a minimum wage discussion here. I don't want to do that. My point is the hypocrisy of, yeah, I'll go ahead and pay myself a whole lot more. No, clearly wasn't, but he's the Speaker of the House, a Speaker of the Senate. That's why I'm picking on him. It is not him alone, and I do not mean to say that it is. Although I don't think you're his biggest fan either. Right. In Louisville, right? Oh, Western, yeah.
Well, it just wasn't him. I mean, well, I'm not, and I'm from his state.
But that
I remember when he was a county attorney.
That's the problem I have. You hit the nail on.
So, no, he was from Western Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the Senate's a more intransigent problem. I think the reason I like the 60 vote and the filibuster.
He's simply one of those people. He's arrogant, very arrogant. And
real clamp.
He knows the political game as it's laid out right now.
It's as partisan as it wants to, but it needs the Senate to get things done. And the
president, I agree. Well, that's the problem we all got with the whole system.
You can't move things through the Senate, and that's why it always worked. That's why we had bills that were very balanced. And, you know, for the most part, it has served our country. Well, the only time it hasn't is when one party had way too much power, more than 60 votes, is when things got kind of screwy. And if you look at those periods of time, they weren't great. I mean, you know, unbridled power is not a great thing. Well, but that being said, you have a couple of checks there. One is if it gets through the Senate, but the other one is if the House is of your own party, okay, that's easier, but it's often not the case.
Well, it's not, but you know, at the same time, even if they push it through the Senate, then it's going to
the
House.
That the only bill Trump has gotten to sign of any consequence is the tax cut, which has its own problems in my mind. But again, there is no legislation happening at all.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
But I don't see a whole lot of bills being pushed through because of all the bickering and everything else. I mean,
yeah, but that's okay. I mean, in 8 or 9 months, 2/3 of 3/4 of them will be weeded out. Look at the Republicans in 2016. It was they had 18 people.
Well, everybody's too busy arguing and fighting at each other. And then it's back to what we were talking about before. The representatives,
well, okay,
you know, now
take your senator
that's running
senator
for
Paul
president.
He was running for president for a while. Kentucky has a rule that says if you're running for president or any other office, you can't run for your existing office.
Well,
he got the law changed in Kentucky. So if
I agree.
You could still
but at the same time, the thing that bothers me is these people sort of cease to do their job because they're focused on running and trying to become president. You know, it's
and that's what you should have to do.
Yeah. I'm one of these. I agree with that. Here's the thing. I think it should be, You know, so, in the state of Kentucky, if you're going to run for an office, like governor, for example,
of states' rights. Oh, we should leave everything to the state. And
in years past, you had to resign from whatever other office you were in.
I'm not so sure.
I agree. Because you're no longer serving the people. You're serving yourself.
For example,
that's what you've chosen to do. I'm going to serve myself. And to hell with the people. Well, that's just wrong. That's wrong on every side.
Religious education. You know, the problem with teaching kids, you can teach them creationism all you want to at home, but teaching things like that in school makes them unprepared to get into the major universities in the United States. And so there's an inherent bias against them. And I don't, again, this is not an education podcast. But you can respond because I brought it up. But the point I'm making is we've got to get to the notion that maybe there are some basic things like election standards that apply to all 50 states. I use Louisiana.
Yeah, you could do that. And, you know, as far as here in Kentucky, though,
public
schools don't really, there's no more Bible classes in public schools here. It's all in private schools. It's all in private schools, you know. And most private schools are religious schools in this state. And it seems pretty much to be that way around the country. But, yeah, I think there needs to be federal guidelines on what has to be taught.
Where is it, in Lexington?
It's equal for all.
Floyd County.
Yeah, I tell you a funny story about this is politics at its best, okay? And this is at the local level. And there's this little school. It's a little elementary school. It's called Harold Elementary.
And what was
they rank
the,
no,
what was the, what
no
was
it's the, in Floyd County, Kentucky.
What was it?
They rank number one in the state on all test scores.
Was it a private or a public
and
school?
And across the entire state of Kentucky. They were number one. They were the brightest kids. They had the best teachers. So in all the wisdom that they could muster up in Floyd County, they shut that school down and consolidated it with one of the worst educated schools in the state.
Well, this is the problem.
They just said there was too many schools. But the real public, both of them's public. But the real thing that was so shocking was they laid those teachers off. You got the brightest teachers in the world teaching these kids, made them number one, and you get rid of them. And you keep the teachers that are lazy as shit doing nothing at the other school that's ranked last. And now you're
Congress can't even agree on basic holidays. I mean, they can't do anything.
I agree 100%. And, you know, and this is something, you know, and this is so simple because Congress could set all this in motion.
Okay, so you know what I'm
it would be a done deal.
Stop here.
Nobody would have an issue. Congress could get so much done if they just stopped the bicker and the fighting. I agree with that. That's the reason I said it's the world's most expensive daycare where you got grown people acting like they're 10 years old. And something has to change. The American people have got to say, you know what, we've had enough of this. Let's just replace them. I'm all for it. Anyways, you know, at the end of the day, if Congress did their job and would quit fighting, we could solve a lot of these issues. And this is where I say the American people needs to make a choice and simply come back and say, hey, we need to replace these guys because no one is willing to do their job anymore.
Well, so this is what George Washington was so fundamentally afraid of, which is the rise of political parties. And the question becomes, how do you get parties out of this unless you eliminate parties? Some states have no party registration. I think it's Nevada, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Utah. But anyway, now you still have the notion of parties, even though you don't belong to an affiliated party. But one thing that I thought might be a good idea, and I don't know if it is, but if a branch of Congress, if all branches of Congress are run by the same party, the House of Representatives, or you could pick the Senate, has to give the chairmanships to the minority party. So let's say Democrats have the House and the Senate. Okay, all the chairmanships in the House belong to the Republicans. That way, but, you know, because that's how the agendas get set. That's how compromise will happen.
True, but I mean, then you'd have to revamp a lot of things.
Why?
To, well, because you would still have the same issues if the chairman didn't want, let's say if the Democrats had the House and the Senate, so what do? You make the Speaker of the House a Republican?
The House is voted in. Remember, the Speaker doesn't even have to be a member.
I agree with that. Right, but what I'm saying is, it's obvious that whoever's got control of the House will always vote their party in.
But the thing is, if they want their party, again, it's just an idea. If they want their party to move, if they want their agenda to be moved forward, they're going to have to compromise. Now, I realize the spoils of winning are chairmanships, but that's also the reason why there's this entrenched political movement. The Senate is particularly bad on this. You know, I don't like the fact that Mitch McConnell held up Merrick Garland. In fact, Eisenhower had 116 days left of his presidency. He was a Republican. The Democrats put forth his Supreme Court nomination. So the McConnell argument is that we should wait till after the election is historically a bogus one. I would say the same thing if it was a Democrat that did that to a Republican president. I think that using politics, the president was the president, was elected, and that president should have the prerogative of appointing Supreme Court justices that deserve a vote, period, one way or the other. And that's terrible that you use a purely partisan reason to hold up Supreme Court nominees. It takes the job of the Senate from being a deliberative body that's supposed to work on things to, okay, we won the Senate, so we're not going to do anything. That's good. Mitch McConnell said, we want to make Obama a one-term president. That's not his job. That's the job of the American people.
I agree with that, and that's back to where I say the American people, since we've been entrusted with a duty, we should actually carry out that
duty. Many countries, including Australia, and most Western democracies, by the way, when it's voting day, you A, get the day off, and B, if you don't vote and don't have a valid excuse, you're in the hospital, you're in the military, you're infirmed, you're whatever, you get charged $500. You have to vote. It's no longer an option. It's a civic duty, just like jury duty is a duty. And I like the idea. I think that there can be a lot of reasons for having a pass on it, but it works in most other democracies.
Well, you know, it is forcing people to vote. Yeah, I don't know how that would go over, but you know what? People should have to vote. And at the end of the day, that's how decisions are made. And I've always said, look, you don't vote, you don't get the right to bitch about anything. Because you put zero thought in who the leadership of this country is going to be because you chose not to vote. Now, at the same time, look, I'm one of these people, I honestly think, let's have an election. You got a Democratic Party, Republican, Independent, whatever you got. The minute you win and go to Washington,
there's that too.
You're no longer Democrat or Republican. You have to become part of the, the American Party. And that's all you are. You're a nonpartisan American. That's it.
Yeah,
everybody gets to vote, but there is no going to be. There's not going to be a Democratic side and a Republican side. There's going to be 100 senators, no party affiliation. You're going to have your representatives, no party affiliation.
Right.
You know, judges have to run nonpartisan. And why is it that congressmen
running,
senators can't run nonpartisan?
I think that, I would be in favor of eliminating political parties. That is not going to happen, but I would be in favor of it.
No, but, you know, it's not saying you can't be a Republican once you get out of office. You can go back to Republican Party.
No, but I mean, you wouldn't have a federal, you wouldn't have an
national. Well, I mean, parties at any level,
which is okay.
Even the federal.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need a national Republican Party. Right. So, okay.
You wouldn't need one. Yeah. And you wouldn't need all these super PACs. That's slinging money everywhere.
Gross misrepresentation.
It's just a party of individuals.
Decisions
and
the Supreme Court, right up there with Dred Scott. I mean, corporations are not people. I don't care who the hell you thinks they are. They may have legal rights from a tax and entity point of view as a person, but they are not people. They don't have a voice.
True. Well, here's the thing. The easiest way to look at this is from a tax perspective.
They're an entity. They're a legal entity.
They are a individual entity. That's all they are. Entities, that's all. They are not people. A corporation can't be held responsible
right.
for murder. It cannot go to prison for robbing somebody. Corporations don't act the way people act. They are run by
right.
people
and it shouldn't have
who can
a
be
voice.
Held responsible,
so,
but the corporation itself is nothing
right,
more than a legal entity. That's all it is. It should have none. And there should be a cap. If you're running for president, you get $50 million.
And that's it. And it's... And it should start like 3 months before the election.
Right. What do you?
Yeah, $3. Yeah.
Well, but now you got to remember, Mike, when you do your tax return,
I think it should be.
It says right on your tax return.
Just happened.
Yeah. So do you want to give it or not?
Right. But they should just.
And you know, it's Republican, Democrat, or
that,
no, doesn't matter, basically.
That get, say, more than 8% or some percent.
Exactly. And they split that up equal amongst all the candidates.
If you say, like California says, we don't care what party you're from. It's the top two vote.
Well, whoever wins their primaries, you can do it that way if you want.
I understand that. So if you win, if you become the nominee, of your party at the at the state level, then those two nominees or three nominees or how many? Because technically there could be a bunch.
Right. So, but that way it's... Now, all of a sudden, you've got to actually bring a message to the people. You can't sit around and say, I've got 100 million or 500 million or a billion, and this guy's got 10 million, and you know, he can't get no coverage. You're buying all the TV spots. And
so let's talk a little bit in the time we have left about, because we still have the presidency and the Supreme Court. Now, I'm a big believer in term limits for Supreme Court justice. I'm actually a big believer in age limits. It's just...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll stand up and testify on that one. It's ridiculous that anybody's appointed for life.
There was a Supreme Court justice. I don't remember... Not justice. Supreme Court judge I don't remember. Yeah, Justice. I don't remember what party he was from. It was back, I think, in the late 1800s. I don't know the exact dates. The guy was in a coma for 3 years, but he was alive. It's federal judges.
Yeah, and it's so ridiculous. But it's not just Supreme Court justices. It's all federal judges. A lifetime appointment? Come on.
Not much. But anywhere, I mean, again, we're not quibbling about the exact age. We're just
75, that's fine. I would go with 70, 72. Doesn't matter. And we're not. But at the same time, I think it's a...
I'm not against that either.
Either or. You're allowed to spend 20 years as a judge.
I also don't like the fact that if a federal judge resigns their position, like Trump's sister, and again, I'm not picking on Trump, whatever investigations are ongoing into you and there's tax laundering investigations into her, they all stop immediately, period, because you're no longer a federal judge. No. The law is clear. If you resign your position, the investigations at the federal level stop. Now, she could still be investigated at the state level, but still. But the federal investigations stop. I think that's horseshit. I mean, if you commit a crime, you committed a crime. Yeah.
Right.
They can. They should. They should. Well, but
I get it. But this is back to what we're talking about, Mike. Congress needs to get off their ass and pass these laws. They can make these changes. I mean, and they choose not to. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that really irritates me is if you get something in front of the Supreme Court, to me, the entire Supreme Court should have to hear it. Not three of them, not five of them. I don't need a partial panel. Look, you're hired to do a job. And it's, yeah, for life. And you don't even want to be part of this one. All right, I'll do this case here. So what's happened is, and what I'm starting to see, is the Supreme Court is actually playing politics now. They're actually political in nature, determining things. And federal judges now want to play politics. They were never designed to be a political. And
so, all right, finally, we have a few minutes left. I want to talk about the Electoral College. And if the president commits crimes, I think this one has. Other people think others have. I think that the politicians, impeachment's a political process. It's never going to be anything else than that. So it doesn't really matter. You're not going to impeach a president unless there's overwhelming evidence of a crime. Not little crimes, big crimes. Like Nixon. He would have actually lost office. Now, do I think Trump committed crimes? Yeah. But does it matter? No, not much, unless the House and Senate want to do something about it. But the thing about the presidency that I really do dislike is the Electoral College. And I'll tell you why, then I'd like to have your response. I mean, in the last 16 years, the two presidents, one with a minority and Trump won with a huge minority of votes. That is not the will of the American people. Now, I understand the argument for the Electoral College because it gives small states a say. People say, well, if you only have a popular vote, then states like California, New York, and a couple others would run the election. I'll tell you why that's false, and then I'd love to hear your point of view. It's false for the simple reason is if you took the entire demographic of California and spread it among equally, you take half the state population were to spread it among the rest of the 49 states equally, they'd vote the same. Distribution of a popular vote is not the issue, because what is the issue is that the person with the most votes won. Now, it might change the campaigning, probably would, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'll take your state of Kentucky. One of my favorite states in the union, but it is like number 37th in terms of being visited by a political party. You can't get much worse than 37. You could be 40th, but it's not going to make any real difference, right? I mean, it's just they don't go there anyway. So it doesn't. The Electoral College doesn't protect your ability to cast a vote for the president. So I dislike badly the notion of an Electoral College. I think it's unfair. It's anachronistic. It was put in place. A lot of people don't know this, but it was put in place as to assuage the southern states when they became to sign the Constitution, when they wanted to become part of the United States. And what happened is that's why the three out of every five states counted as a vote. and the Electoral College, because they knew that they were so underrepresented by population, the northern states was so much more popular because of history, that they would never have gotten a president elected from the South ever without the Electoral College. But you have to remember, at the same time, only white land-owning men over the age of 21 could vote. This is the framework that the Electoral College was put in place. And it's anachronistic. It's wrong. It doesn't work. And in fact, it led to two failed presidents. When I say failed, I'm talking popular vote fail, in the last 16 years. Well, I'm going to Bush Gore. I mean, Bush won by losing 500,000 votes. Trump won by losing 3 million votes. So, you know, those are failures in terms of popular vote. And it's unnecessary. In fact, one could argue that the Nixon-Kennedy election in 1960 was stolen by John Kennedy. There's ample evidence it was. There's no definitive proof because of the Electoral College in Illinois, right? And so that's wrong, too. It's not that I'm picking on Trump or Bush. They just lost. Kennedy probably lost, although that was so well hidden, nobody really knows the answers anymore. And, you know, but before then, it only happened twice. And once was the third election in the Republic. I think it was Jefferson and Adams. And one became, you know, whatever. But the point is, it doesn't work and it's not needed. And the argument that it gives small states representation, the other major problem with it is, and then I'll finish, is the state of Wyoming has about 600,000 people in it, but they get three electoral votes. You get two, one for each representative, and you get two. And I'm sorry, they have one, but you get one for each senator, too. So they get three votes. That means each 200,000 people is one vote. California has 40 million people, and they get 55 votes, which means that you got 80% of 200. So it's like every 80,000 people gets a vote. So the state of Wyoming is two and a half times more representative than the state of California is. And that's horseshit. I mean, that's absolute horseshit.
Well, Mike, if you're going to make it fair. Okay, first of all, the reason we all know the reason there's two senators in every state is so small states would have an equal say in Washington, D.C. in the Senate, which that is their equality. Now, you've got a couple options here. One, you can pull two electoral votes from every state to offset the Senate, and then base it on population. Or go to a popular vote. But at the end of the day, even if you still go to, it's strictly based on population, I think at the end, it is. No. I said your electoral college is based, if you base it on population, you remove the Senate, the two from every state. Now you've got a true picture to a certain degree, a truer picture. But it's still, you could still win on popular vote and lose the election in Electoral College regardless. No, it wouldn't. No, because in California, if you beat me, you and I are running for president, you win by 5 million votes. You get your 53 all of a sudden instead of 55. Now, I win all these other states, but I only beat you by 1 million in the other 49 states. You still win, but I win the Electoral College. I understand. I agree. And I have no issues with popular vote. As a matter of fact, if there was a popular vote, it would totally change the way everybody campaigns. Because everybody's spending $500 million going to win the Electoral College, because that's the rules. Okay, once again, now we're back to the same old thing. Change it. Congress has the ability. Our whole thing is, Congress can solve all our problems if they just go to work. Yeah, you know, I've got, well, here's the thing. I don't think that will ever occur. And I don't think Well, now you got to look. Each state has two responsibilities basically in an election. They are to confirm the number of candidates that ran and who they are and how many votes they got. A state, yes, but the state themselves do not get to decide who they're going to give their electoral votes to.
You won't be able to. No, it's passed muster in 16 states, and actually there's been challenges to it in all 16. None of them have won. None of them have won.
And your state votes for the Republican candidate, and you want to give your votes to the Democratic candidate. The Supreme Court will nuke that.
Well, it might be, but the bottom line is the Constitution's clear. States get to decide how electors are chosen, period. There is no ambiguity in that law. None. Zero. And so the Supreme Court's got nothing to rule on. They can't. They cannot strike down a state constitutional amendment. You cannot do it. They're not taking it away. The Electoral College simply says who gets voted to for president.
True.
The state of California didn't vote for Trump. But anyways, it'll be an interesting thing that'll happen. I would prefer the Constitution's amendment amended to get rid of the Electoral College. I would like, secondly, for the states to do it, and yeah, let it go to the Supreme Court. It won't matter because any election that it does happen in is not going to be invalidated. It'll have to just stand on its own. So we'll see. But with that, Brian, we are approaching the one-hour mark. It goes by much faster than you think. So I want to say thanks for joining the podcast. I want to thank our listeners for listening to the podcast. Love to hear from you. Like us, comment, do whatever you need. We are available at shtstorm.com is our website. Facebook is facebook.com/shtstorm. And both Twitter and Instagram are at shtstormpodcast is our name. So join us, like us, follow us, do whatever you can. And thanks again.